Oh, sorry, JP. I cut you off a little bit soon. Hi. This is Dr. Morgan in Jacksonville. KBJS. The program is Health Essentials. I'm your host this morning. It's very good to be with you. You know, if I could just put all the control booth on rollers, I would roll it outside under this beautiful sky. Do you ever just go outside and decide that you want to look up at the clouds? Do you ever use your imagination to figure out what the clouds look like? Well, the other day I saw a rhinoceros on the way home. I'm guessing it was a cloud the size of, half a mile up in the air. It was a rhino, all right. It had the distinctive horns. And evidently there were no poachers attacking it either. The program today, well, let me give you the phone number of the radio station in case you want to call and ask me a question or make a comment. This program is called Health Essentials. Obviously, you already know going into it that I have an extreme bias. I'm completely biased on nutrients, herbs, natural remedies, whole foods that God Himself has made to bless us with. Anything that would help promote energy and healing and repair and good quality sleep, I think we need to focus on that. Because if I don't take that tact on what can we do to improve or lessen human suffering, then it's going to be more of a strict modern medical approach. If you have discomfort, let's just give you lots of drugs so you don't have to feel that. If you don't have energy and you can't concentrate, well, we can probably give you the equivalent of crack cocaine or speed to kind of rev your brain up. But does that really put you in a place of good health? I don't think so. This morning, I wanted to at least share with you, and I'm all about being, I try to be as honest as I can be. There's sometimes I probably, my honesty is not perfect because I'm thinking I don't want to tell a person that because that might hurt their feelings. So I don't always tell a person everything that I know. And sometimes I'm trying to size up health conditions and I want to focus on being more encouraging. I mean, isn't that part of being a human being? Sometimes you hold back on information because you think it would be devastating to the other person. That's not trying to be dishonest. I don't think it is anyway. But, you know, delivering information, you are the one that has the choice of what you're going to do with it. You know, if anything, you, as the listener right now, you are the one that needs to choose to take good care of yourself. I can't do that for you. Your niece or your nephew can't do that for you. Your son or your daughter can't. Or your mother or your father can't. You're the one that's in the very best position to take good care of yourself, so that's what you should do. Nobody can do it like you can. Part of good health is just denying yourself, right? Okay? What I was going to start with is, to the best of my knowledge, I've had exactly 5 patients that have come down with the coronavirus, or if you want to call it COVID-19, you can if you want. It's caused by a very specific virus called the coronavirus, as far as I know, although I'm open to other alternative, lines of thinking on that. I'm not telling you that I'm set in stone that the coronavirus is everything. There's more than one factor. But 5 of the patients that have been to see me have tested positive, and they have been sick with the coronavirus. Me being the great intellectual that I am, I quickly determined the one thing that all these 5 individuals had in common: they've all been to the hospital. They've all had some contact with either visiting a loved one that's had a surgical procedure or a reason to go to the hospital. So, you have contact with a bunch of germs when you go to the hospital, right? I'm sure you've heard me say before, if you do not want to get sick, do not go to the hospital. If you have a weakened, compromised immune system and your lungs cannot take one more stressful event, then don't go. It may be that you have a loved one that's sick in the hospital and you really want to go visit, but you may have to do, maybe a FaceTime or just lots of text or You could do it the old school way. You could write them a love letter. Tell them how much you're praying for them. But if you know that you're at risk for coming down with some type of infection, or better yet, if you're radiant and healthy, if you don't want to be exposed to this mess, then don't go. And maybe that would include, besides the hospital and the emergency room, maybe it would include going to a nursing home facility, unless you have a really exceptional reason to go that would, you know, be worth the risk, okay? But all five patients, they've all had contact with either the ER, the emergency room, or the nursing home. So I know that's a tremendous oversimplification. There's a huge difference between you going into a large grocery store and there's one person in the store that has the coronavirus. They're over at the produce section. No, they're really not over at the produce section. That was just, I can't believe I even said that. Where they are is they're over where the Pop-Tarts are and the soda waters and the bags of chips and cookies and junk food. That's where they are. I know, I have two eyes. I get to observe people every day. I get to see what they put in their grocery carts. So, if you're in contact with a person that's in a grocery store and you have like more than 6 foot distance between them, chances are whatever you get is going to be a very, very low threshold, a very low dose of the virus. And I think this is dose dependent. Now, if you go into a nursing home facility or hospital or ER where you have like 100 hacking, coughing people with an upper respiratory tract infection, you're asking for it. You're totally asking for it. So, maybe that's just my simple observation. But I would say, just from my studies, if you do not want to get sick, maybe you should not hang out where all the sick people are. Okay, that's point number one. Number two, and I know I'm being redundant by saying this, but as far as I can tell by looking at the studies, and I was discussing this with Charles yesterday, and I told Charles that as far as I can tell from reading the raw data, that there's approximately 2 billion people that are on the planet right now that have tested positive for TB or tuberculosis. If you want to find a way to completely beat down your immune system and suppress it where it cannot do its job and protect you from infection or cancer or something else, well, getting TB of the lungs would be one of the ways of doing that. Okay? So the highest correlation to people dying is going to be if they have TB or not. All right? Simple as that. If they test positive, I may not get the numbers exactly right, but in my mind it's telling me there's probably 15 million Americans currently that test positive for TB. That's 15 million. Of course, if we go over the whole planet Earth, that would be 2 billion. I know that's a huge number. That's hard to conceptualize. But as far as I know, that's true. You have to realize that not every country on the planet, whether it be a country in Africa or some country in Asia like China or India or Indonesia, not every country lives the same lifestyle that we live. I read that Cleopatra had 12 slaves at any given time that would surround her. And they would have these long poles that had palm leaves on them. And they could just fan her to keep her cool and to keep her comfortable. Well, Cleopatra was obviously quite wealthy. And she had the best of everything that the world could give her. Well, now you could almost be the poorest person in all of America, but you could still probably have a box fan and a window AC unit. So when it gets to be 99 degrees this afternoon, you could probably stay far cooler than what Cleopatra could. Okay. The next thing that I've read, besides if you don't want the coronavirus staying away from the hospitals or the nursing home facilities or getting sick and having to go there, well, if you got TB, that's a whole different ball of wax. I'm going to cover that a little bit more in just a second. But the other thing that I've uncovered is one of the highest predictors of how well you're going to do is the amount of muscle mass you have. And so, if you were literally rail thin and you have very little muscle, and just ask yourself the question, do you have as much strength as you did when you were 18 or 19 or 20 and you're 75 now? Well, we probably know the answer to that, unless you're a rare man or a very rare gem of a woman. Gem, that's G-E-M, not J-I-M, just in case you're wondering. Unless you've made a concerted effort to take really good care of yourself, there's a good chance, because you're an American, you're going to succumb to the religion of comfort, which says we really shouldn't get too hot or too cold, and exercise, oh, that's for other people. Well, you're going to lose your muscle mass. So I want to suggest to you that your muscle is literally your organ of longevity. And should you get sick, if you do not have enough muscle in reserve, guess what's going to happen? You've got nothing to draw upon for energy to fight the infection with. So you're going to die if you're rail thin and you have to go to the hospital and put on a ventilator. Now let me read this to you right here. You just have to tell me if you can buy into what I'm saying right here, but I'm looking at a chart. And this chart's showing how COVID-19 patients who end up in the hospital may be almost certain to die if they have a vitamin D deficiency. And the chart goes from 0 to 100%, and they're showing if you go to the hospital and your vitamin D levels, D as in David, you know that when you spend time outdoors doing yard work, and it may be this time of year that you got to use your wits about you. You got to keep them. Maybe you shouldn't go out for the first time from 2 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 1 to 4. You might be asking for it because you're not conditioned to it. Maybe you should go out between 6 and 10 a.m. or something like that, or from 6 in the evening till 7. I don't know. But you're asking for it if you blast your body with more heat than what your body can handle. Well, actually, let me just read this to you right here. Nearly 99% of COVID-19 patients who are vitamin D deficient die. Does that number mean something to you? Should we just like sit up and take notice? And it may be that I'm the only one that's telling you this, but I would prefer that you at least consider what I'm telling you. 99%. It's really 98.9, but we might as well say 100%, right? Or 99%. 99% of COVID-19 patients are vitamin D deficient, according to a terrifying study that adds to mounting evidence that the sunshine nutrient could be a coronavirus lifesaver. And here's a study. Scientists in Indonesia, they analyzed hospital records of 780 people who tested positive for the SARS-CoV-2. That's just the name of the virus that's called the coronavirus that causes COVID-19. Okay, sorry for the technical details there. Results revealed that 98.9% of the infected patients defined as vitamin D deficient. So in technical mumbo-jumbo, if you have a blood test in front of you from your last doctor's visit and you're looking at your vitamin D level, if the number is 20 nanograms per milliliter, that's just a number 20 or below, well, 99% of those people died. That might be important. You know, this year alone, actually, let me just say in the last year, I bet you I've seen 10 people that were below the number 10. It is just shocking. Totally shocking. If I'm not mistaken, there are probably easily over 2,000 unique enzyme and gene signaling reactions that take place in the human cell that are dependent on vitamin D3. And maybe that's my angle here. If you do not have enough vitamin D3 to get the job done, that means there's going to be a whole lot of benefits to your immune system that just go undone. And so if your number is 20 or below and you go to the hospital with COVID-19, well, you're dead. Yet this, and I'm going back to the study right here. So we know that 99% of people that are infected with COVID-19, they die if they can measure their vitamin D3 levels if they're below 20. They die. If that's not an accurate I think the study is going to be published early this next week. But if you're one of the 4.1% of patients that go to the hospital, actually, I'm not saying this correct way. If you're low in vitamin D, which means that the number is 20 or below, you're a dead person. But if your vitamin D3 levels are normal, there's only a 4.1% chance of death. Whew, I made that too difficult. I'm so sorry about that. So the chances of you dying when you're low in vitamin D, well, 99% chance. I don't know if you can get any higher than that. If your vitamin D levels are sufficient, it's 4.1. I'm telling you, folks, that's a world of difference. Shouldn't everyone be screaming at the top of their lungs if you work at UT South or, what's the other one? It's not Mother Francis. Christus, that's right. If you're at the hospital, you should be making it mandatory. I think if someone's in front of Walmart, call the health ambassador, maybe they should be testing people for vitamin D3 instead of, you know, becoming the Gestapo. Anyway, that was a little bit of a joke. Sorry about that. Researchers warned the study was not definitive, however, because the patients with high vitamin D levels were healthier and younger, and yes, that is true. If you look at the studies and the charts, it's going to be people between 80 years and above that have the most death rate. But then again, in the real world, if you come down with pneumonia, most likely you're going to succumb to it if you're above 80 years of age. Does that make sense? I don't want to overthink that, but it becomes much, much harder to defend yourself against a disease as you age, right? Does that make sense? Okay. Okay. Researchers warned that the study was not definitive because the patients with high vitamin D levels were healthier and younger. Maybe I would interpret that as they got outside more and their flesh was exposed to the sunlight so their body could actually make it. It comes as health chiefs are urgently reviewing the use of vitamin D3 as a coronavirus lifesaver, with several studies suggesting that COVID-19 patients are far more likely to die if they have a deficiency. Well, that's what this study shows you right here. The National Institute for Health and Care and Excellence is conducting a rapid evidence review of this issue from this scientific publication, and they're expected to make their findings published or given to the public early as next week. Anyway, enough of that topic right there. Let me go on to my next one right here. Well, it really ties in the last one. Okay, first things first. If you live in a part of the world where the sun beats down hard, you don't have a lot of rain, well, it would really benefit you if you had darker skin. Because darker skin contains a pigment called melanin. Now, let me just say it this way. This dark pigment called melanin, it is found in very unique locations throughout the brain and the body. Off the top of my head, I'm thinking there's a small gland, not big at all. It's probably the size of an eraser on the end of a pencil, maybe not even that big. It's called the pineal gland. Well, there's a high concentration of melanin in that. There's also a very specific nucleus that I remember studying over 30 years ago called the substantia nigra. And to me, this is one of the most fascinating topics of all time. I don't know if you know this or not, but when I've studied psychology, they've shown that how the human brain is wired, that it's probably 100 times more efficient at reliving painful experiences from the past or thinking about the past than compared to being able to very positively, you know, think about what your future could be like, and that involves using your imagination or trying to set a goal or to kind of visualize how things would look in the future. So isn't that interesting that we are so hardwired to remembering painful events of the past and dwelling on those? I know that you know what I'm talking about. You could be minding your own business, driving down the road, and all of a sudden, you have a conversation with yourself about something that happened 5 years ago. And of course, we know intellectually or full well, there's nothing you can do to change that. Do you remember the Apostle Paul saying in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, "Not that I have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are from behind or in the past, and reaching forth unto those things which are before or ahead." Even he knew that one of the secrets was to forget that which is behind you, because you can't do anything about it. Even if you think about it all day long and you meditate and you say, "What can I do to solve the problem?" It cannot be done. That's an impossible equation. And one of the reasons I'm bringing this up is because the very specific brain cells that help you think about the future, they come from what's called the substantia nigra, which it has a very high concentration of this pigment called melanin. That would be the difference between an albino not being able to get tan when they go in the sun, is because they have maybe a genetic mutation where they cannot produce melanin by the cells called melanocytes. Anyway, I was reading the other day about a type of a bird called an albatross, and I found myself so intrigued by the albatross that it just didn't even make sense to me. Well, they're saying that an albatross can literally fly 10,000 miles nonstop before it rests. And I thought to myself, you couldn't get a human being to ride in a car 100 miles without having to stop and fuel up or do something. But an albatross can fly 10,000 miles without having to stop. Well, as I was kind of pouring through this, they've discovered there's this very unique concentration of melanin. That's that dark pigment that makes your skin darker when you expose it to sunlight. And they think now that maybe these cellular structures or molecules that contain melanin in the eye of the albatross is able to help convert the radiant energy of the sun into energy for the albatross. I thought, this is wild. And what you've heard me say before, I think human beings are solar-charged batteries. Now, this melanin is really extremely important to you. And actually, I'm going to get to the punchline momentarily, but this has everything to do with your health. But I had an idea. And I thought to myself, if I had... Of course, I don't really want to do this because it's just kind of depressing and it's just not fun to think about, but... You know, one of the hardest things that a human being deals with is, or can deal with, is developing cancer. And usually when I get, or one of the ways that a person could come and see me as a patient would be after every avenue of modern medicine has failed them. And I'm not trying to be critical by saying that, I'm just calling it like it is. So if they have availed themselves to taking the administration of every experimental chemotherapy, if the standard chemotherapy didn't work and they try more chemotherapy, and if that one didn't work, they try another one that might be experimental, and they might enroll in this study and that study. And so if they still examine them with a PET scan and they say, okay, the cancer has spread from its original location of the, let's say the ovary, and now it's in the liver, the lung, the bone, the brain. Well, that's called metastasis. Well, and I'm not trying to bring people down this morning, but metastatic cancer that spread from its original location to another location is absolutely the most brutal one. And if they have tried every treatment the oncologist has given them, but they still haven't had any results, that might be when they come to me looking for something that might, you know, turn the tide, or might, they're just willing to think of it a different way. And of course, the way that I want to propose this is, you have options. And quite often, these are options that somebody has never heard of. So just like I told you earlier, when your vitamin D3 levels are 20 or below, That is a 98.9% chance of you dying in the hospital from coronavirus if you have to go to the hospital. Well, obviously, I'm wanting you to figure it on your own. Well, what if you don't get so sick you have to go to the hospital? Even better. Well, you'd be foolish not to consider vitamin D3. I mean, after all, your body is able, or your immune system is completely able, of generating and producing its own natural antibiotics against a bacteria or a virus. Except that it requires a certain amount of vitamin D3 to get the job done. So if you're not going to go outside in the sunshine ever, that's a big mistake. I bet you anything that there are literally people, the only time that they experience any sunlight touching their skin is they're walking from the house to the carport or the garage or the car in the drive. That's it. The rest of the time, they're indoors. Well, you got to remember, your body is a solar-charged battery. If you are weak, if you have lost your strength, well, guess what? All the muscles in the body begin to atrophy when you don't have vitamin D3. So, maybe you should spend time outdoors today. Anyway, going back to the idea of melanin, if you want to be able to have an active imagination and be positive, you're going to have a little bit of melanin to do that. Or, if you want to be negative, if you want to think about all the hard things from the past and dwell on those forever, well, you could probably just stay indoors all day long. It's simple as that. Anyway, I was reading about the nuclear meltdown in Chernobyl. And I'm telling you, once that core started to go haywire, radiation is spewing forth, and it could just literally, if you get enough radiation from the Chernobyl Ukrainian reactor, you're dead. Okay? Well, one of the things that they discovered, they started noticing that mushrooms began to grow inside the walls of the still hot reactor. And when they were looking at this, they said, okay, how can these mushrooms survive even though a human being would have been dead? I think they measured it, and this is a new term for me. I'm just not familiar with it. They said radiation doses up to 6,400 grays. That's spelled G-R-A-Y-S. Basically, what that means to you and I, or you and me, 2,000 times a dose that's lethal to a human being, yet you have this fungus or this mushroom growing inside the walls of the Chernobyl nuclear reactor. Well, I find that very intriguing. Now, you're probably going to ask me the next question. You're going to say, Dr. Morgan, were these mushrooms white, like the kind that the baby Bellas that we get in the store to eat, put in our salads or to saute with a hamburger steak? No, they weren't. Just by happenstance, they all looked very, very, very dark. Okay? And so when a mushroom is very dark, like brown, dark gray, or black, well, it contains a whole bunch of melanin. Okay? Now, you don't know this, but I have a cup in front of me. This is, I think I have green tea, and I have chaga mushroom powder in it. So as I look at this, this is about as dark brown as humanly possible. If you were to come and look at this, you'd say, that's super dark coffee, Dr. Morgan. That's not tea. But you would notice real quick, it's not coffee. It's tea. Well, but some of it is chaga mushroom powder. And chaga, as you know, or if you don't know, has one of the highest concentrations of this maybe nutrient slash antioxidant pigment called melanin. Okay? Well, I came across a study that I find very intriguing. I'm just going to read the study to you. To investigate whether dietary melanin, and all I'm doing is I'm talking about what would come from darkly colored mushrooms, to investigate whether dietary melanin might confer some health-sustaining powers to animals, scientists at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, they fed melanin-rich mushrooms. That's the kind most of us know as Judah's ear. I don't know why it's called Judah's ear. Or jelly ear, and they gave these to mice. Okay? So they had one group of mice they gave these dark mushrooms to as food, or as some of their food. A second group of mice was fed white mushrooms, which means these are very, very poor and very low in this substance called melanin. I think they were called porcini mushrooms. A third group of mice, they ate white porcini mushrooms like the second group did, but they were also supplemented with melanin. And a final control group received no mushrooms or melanin at all. They were just given Purina Mickey Mouse chow. Okay? Now get this. I don't know that I like this sentence, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. It says all the mice were administered high levels of radiation. Well, that sounds like they were blasted with mega doses of gamma radiation, enough to kill somebody. All the mice were administered high levels of radiation, far surpassing the dose considered dangerous for human beings. Okay? After 13 days, all the mice in the control group had died, and the control group was the ones that had no mushrooms and no melanin. Okay, that's one thing I'm trying to teach you about. And the mice that ate the non-melanized porcini mushrooms died almost as fast as the control. I mean, they all died, but maybe not quite as fast. Okay, that might be important to you. Okay? Now listen to this. Okay, you get the gist here. These mice were either given dark mushrooms or they weren't. And then they were blasted with gamma radiation, enough to probably kill a human being. Impressively, however, 90% of the mice that had been given melanin-rich mushrooms, or white mushrooms, supplemented with melanin, they survived. Folks, you would be foolish if you did not listen to that information. You know what I thought of, though? Now, forgive me for being so blunt, but you know, I only have so much time. And all I want you to do is just be open to this idea. But if they blasted the heck out of these mice with radiation, the ones that ate the dark mushrooms are the only ones that survived. It was just 90% of them that had been given the dark mushrooms. They survived, or the melanin. Well, what do you think that should mean to you if your doctor says, and I hear this all the time, it's just maddening, please, go to McDonald's to get your nutrients. We need to bulk you up because you're going to be losing weight. Have more Bluebell ice cream and more milkshakes. We want you to bulk up. We can't have you losing weight. Well, they know what the score is. If you lose enough of your muscle mass, you're a goner. That's maybe one point that you should take seriously today. If you are very, very thin, then you are going to have to fight with all your might and strength, and maybe even your heart and soul, to get your strength back. You are delusional if you think that it's just going to magically work out okay if you have lost your strength. It is not, because you have nothing in reserve. And so it might be a really good plan to eat the very thing that would actually give you strength. That's called animal protein. I'm not going to say that. You do that. If you want to grow muscle, what do? You feed it and you place some stress upon it. If you want to call that body weight exercises or calisthenics or weight training, some type of exercise regimen, you've got to put stress on it to get the body to heal. But what I thought of was, I wish they would put me in charge of the research, because I would probably give people dark mushrooms that the oncologist is suggesting radiation to. You tell me, do you want to survive? Well, then listen to the study about the mice that were given the melanin-rich mushrooms. That just means mushrooms that were dark. And so, one more time. In this coffee cup that I have this morning, it's about as dark brown as humanly possible, but what's it filled with? Yes, I have a bag of green tea in there. It's still floating. I haven't taken it out. I'm not going to put my fingers in there. You have to be careful where your fingers touch, right? But it's just as dark as possible because I probably put a teaspoon of chaga mushroom powder. It's rich in melanin. Okay. All right, here you go. Here's number two, in case that's not enough right here. In another provocative study published in the Journal of Toxicology and Applied Pharmacology, researchers extracted melanin from a type of a fungus called, and I hope I don't butcher it too bad, the name of the fungus is Gliocephalotrichum simplex. That wasn't too bad, was it? So what they did was they gave this to mice just before exposing them to gamma radiation. And guess what it did? It increased their 30-day survival by 100%. Okay? If you're gonna be dosed with gamma or ionizing radiation for the purpose of trying to destroy a tumor or a cancer, I can't tell you what to do, but you might want to listen to this information. I mean, I cannot make this up if I wanted to. To me, this is so fascinating. Anyway, I just now looked at the clock. Oh, boy, I've been talking way too long. Please forgive me. If you would like to join me on the radio, I'm going to invite you to call me right now. The phone line is open. It is 903-586-5257. And if you call, I will push the button, and I will get you right in. I'm waiting. Anyway, you are in the very best position out of anybody to take great care of yourself. You've got to become your own advocate. If your interpretation of health is going to the doctor, letting them run a whole bunch of blood tests, and they don't explain what the findings are, and you have five things that are too high and three things that are too low, and they still tell you that everything's normal and looks great, that's a big bunch of baloney. Because my experience with dealing with that is when the physician themselves has something out of whack, then all of a sudden they're concerned. But that's human nature, isn't it? So you know that you've got to be your own advocate for health. Personally, if you decide that you're going to study health and healing today, that might be a good course of action if you want to improve the chances of you walking the earth a little bit longer. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir. I've been listening to you for a little while, and my question is...
I can barely hear you.
I've been listening to you for quite a while, and my question is, what do you do to keep healthy every day?
What do I do?
Yeah.
I think you're going to be the sum total of your habits, which means maybe when you wake up first thing in the morning, you need to get in the habit of drinking plenty of water. I probably sound like a broken record by saying this, but if 70% of the earth is covered by water, and ideally super healthy people have 70% of their cells and their tissues, it's pure water, it just makes sense that we should not start our day with a Coca-Cola or a glass of Kool-Aid. We need water. And so if you'll hydrate your body... I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but if I asked you how many different forms of water can you think of right now, I bet you could think of three. Or what would be a form of water if it was solid? You'd call that ice, wouldn't you?
Yes.
And if there was a form of water that was heated up in a tea kettle on the stove and it came out in a form of steam, that would be the gaseous state. So that's a second form. And then if you went to the lake to go fishing today, if you were a good fisherman, you could pull out a largemouth bass into your kayak, and you'd say that's the liquid form of water. But there's another form of water that they have discovered. Sometimes it's called the gel-like state or structured water, and that's the type of water that your cells and the fluids in your body is made of. It's called structured water. And you get structured water when you eat fruits and vegetables. I mean, this shouldn't be a big mystery, but when you eat kale or spinach or broccoli or cauliflower or asparagus or green beans, you're getting structured water. And structured water, well, actually, if you eat it in those forms, they also have the attachment of a very interesting molecule called chlorophyll. And chlorophyll is what gives your cells its electrical potential. So every cell that you have in your body is almost 4 volts of electricity. So if you want to have radiant health that produces energy, see, energy is the key to everything. Without energy production, you cannot restore yourself and you cannot have radiant health. So eating vegetables and fruit is probably going to be really, really important to you. The next thing is this. Besides the water content, the main thing that your body is composed of is called amino acids. That's just a fancy term for protein. If you try to make it without ample protein, so let me give you an option here. You can either eat 4 to 6 ounces of an animal-based protein for your breakfast or for your lunch, and that will start the ball rolling in the right direction for healing and repair, or if you want to get it from the vegetable kingdom, you can do that too. Just take 6 dried cups of quinoa, then you add water to it and cook it and try eating that all day long. I think that would be nearly impossible to eat that. So animal protein seems to me to be the very best bet when you're trying to make sure a person lives a long time. The other thing that's critical, if you're going to have great health and have energy, you have got to do some type of resistance training or work. I mean, the number one predictor of how long you are going to walk on the earth is how physically strong you are. So unless a man or a woman does something to either improve their strength or to maintain their strength, then the writing is on the wall. They are going to get sick long before they should get sick, and they are going to die. So if you set your mind that you were going to become stronger and you were going to drink water and a little bit of animal protein with vegetables and fruit, that would go a long way to ensuring that you're going to have good health and I'm going to have good health. And then maybe in a different category that could be a bit negative, you've got to guard yourself against the very things that would destroy you. Now, I kind of made a joke last week, but it was true, that I think I set the state record in Texas for purchasing the most cigarettes between the ages of 4 and 5 years of age, because that's all I did as a game all day long, is I would go into the pit grill and I'd put the quarters in the slot machine and pull out the cigarettes. Well, you know what I mean. You've seen the cigarette vending machines, haven't you?
I didn't know where the pit grill is.
What'd you say?
I didn't know where the pit grill is.
It was in Mesquite, Texas, right there on Hyde Park and what, at I-30. But I'm sure. Anyway, so it's going to be things that you do to promote good health, and there's going to be things that you have to avoid. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, the studies have shown conclusively that if you smoke, what is it, 20 cigarettes every day, that's an average of, is it 7.3 years it takes off your life? I don't really have the study in front of me, but could you buy into the idea that if you smoke every day, you're probably not going to walk on the earth as long as you would if you didn't smoke? Does that make sense?
You're choosing to leave your family sooner.
Mm-hmm. So, you're going to be the sum total of what your habits are. If you do the gut-wrenching hard work of exercising and disciplining yourself to eat that which is good, chances are it's going to be in your favor. If you abuse your body, I have read so many studies on this. I've gone round and round with my son on this topic. But I'm walking back now. I'm not going to bring that topic up. It's just a certain type of lifestyle behavior that's been shown to lessen the time that you're on the earth.
One more quick question. I don't like broccoli, but I hear it's good for you. But if you cook it in beef broth, it tastes like beef, so it's fine. Does that diminish the healthiness?
No. That's great. So you're telling me if you cook... Now, you're a little bit hard to understand on your phone circuit, but are you saying if you cook broccoli and beef broth, that's agreeable to you?
It's acceptable.
Okay. Well, you know, we got to find something that you can do. If you tell me that you hate broccoli and you hate kale, but you love sweet potatoes and green beans, well, we got to go with what we go with. That's good.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a good day. Appreciate you. Bye-bye. All right. If you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. When you call, just turn your radio off and we'll be good. Good morning. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Yes. If you let me turn this down. If you got any help for hemorrhoids?
Okay. Can I just totally unload on you with everything I've got?
Yes, sir. Okay. I had a hemorrhoid about 6 years ago, and it was a doozy, and it was drained, and I haven't had any trouble since. But about a week ago, I come down with it again, and it wasn't as bad as the one I had about 6 years ago.
But, oh, thank the good Lord for that.
But anyway, instead of draining it, they want to put a band on it, and I just wonder if there was another way.
Well, when I was a boy, that's what we used to do to the young male pigs. I'd put a band on their gonads to make them fall off.
Yeah.
But that's what you're trying to do. I'm not trying to
destroy them.
I know.
I've done that with goats, and I've done that with goats, too.
Oh, well, and you're just trying to selectively work on the animals where it's agreeable to everybody. Anyway, I probably said too much. Anyway, all right. The hemorrhoidal plexus has gotten weak, and so you're going to need some nutrients to try to strengthen that. So let me just tell you some things that you can think of, or something that you can try. There is a type of an herb that's called Collinsonia root. For some people, that works better than anything else. I'm not trying to say that it's 100% guarantee, but it's just like if you spell the word Colin, like I live on Collin Street. It's
yes,
called Collinsonia.
Collinsonian.
Well, let me spell it for you.
I think I pronounced it right. Collinsonian root.
It's C-O-L-L-I-N, mm-hmm, and then S-O-N-I-A, almost like the word Sonia. Collinsonia.
Okay.
At least that's the way I pronounce it. You know, I could get it wrong. But Collinsonia root, it can be very, very helpful at helping to resolve hemorrhoids. If that doesn't work, let me tell you what I kind of recommend is emergency measures. You can always try getting some sterile gauze, like the kind that you get at the grocery store, and you could try putting fresh lemon juice on that and just kind of packing it up in there near that area where that can come in contact. And the best time to do that's usually overnight when you go to bed and you're about to lay down in bed. Just squeeze fresh lemon juice, not the lemon juice from the bottle that's been pasteurized, but lemon juice, and you just apply it to that area.
Okay.
That's one way of doing it when you go to bed. Now, the other thing that sometimes works incredibly well, there is a substance in nature that has this really rich, rich, dark green pigment. It's called chlorophyll. So if you walk outside, well, actually, yeah, I'm looking out the window of the radio station right now, just above the control board, and I can see green leaves on the trees that are probably 200 yards away.
Yes.
They're green. That's called chlorophyll. That's the pigment that gives them that color. But sometimes I'll use a little gelatin capsule or a gel cap or a gelatin pearl that's filled with what's called fat-soluble chlorophyll, and I will tell the person if they want to, they can. If they don't, they don't have to. But when they go to bed at night, they might insert that chlorophyll-rich gel cap into and up against where the hemorrhoids are. And sometimes that works better than anything else. There's just no way anything could come as close to that at trying to resolve it. The other thing, and I know this is a different line of thinking, but almost all the nutrients and the flavonoids that you would get from juicing would be phenomenal. And, of course, if it was an emergency and you said, I'm sick of this, you might want to just juice vegetables and fruits for the next 3 days. And if they were like fresh carrots and celery and blueberries, and I don't even care if you use an orange or a lemon, but when you juice stuff like that, or kale or spinach, man, you can give your entire digestive tract a complete vacation and a rest. And sometimes that really helps resolve that.
Okay. Where do you get the gels?
I use a product by Standard Process called Chlorophyll Complex. Now, that is pure fat-soluble chlorophyll, not water-soluble, but fat-soluble, which is essentially the blood of a plant. So, another way of saying this, if you had a... there's a type of a juicer that's called a masticating juicer, It doesn't use a high speed or high velocity. It almost looks like it has this auger bit that grinds slowly and presses all the blood out of the plant. So if you had, you can make this stuff yourself. If you had a masticating juicer, a really good one would probably cost $80 to $100. I know that's a lot of money, but man, they are golden. But a masticating juicer, you could literally put spinach leaves or the leaves of kale. You could put wheatgrass. I remember years ago that they gave wheatgrass juice. I don't remember how much of it. I don't think it was a lot, maybe 4 ounces a day, to people that were undergoing severe chemo and radiation. Well, when I say severe, any of it would be severe if you asked me. Chemo and radiation. They had the best results as being able to not be poisoned by the chemo when they took the wheatgrass juice. So I want you to think of the idea that if you take the leaves of a kale plant or celery and you run that through one of these masticating juicers, you're getting the living enzymes and the living blood of those plants. I know that sounds gross, but I believe that to be true. But man, this is pure nutrition for your blood. And so what's happening with the hemorrhoids is your blood is becoming stagnant, stagnant, stagnant. We need to flush all that and make it clean again.
Okay.
So if you did a juicing diet with a masticating juicer, have you ever heard of a website called eBay or Amazon?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you could go on there and just type in masticating juicer, and you could look at all the ones that you want, but the videos of them are super, super cool, but it looks like a slow-turning auger bit. I think this, you know how most juicers are trying to spin at 40 zillion RPMs?
Yes.
Well, this juicer is a completely different technology, but I like them better because I think that what you do is you preserve the vital living nutrients and the enzymes much better because there's no heat involved. Or lower heat, I should say.
Okay.
Or you could become like King Nebuchadnezzar. You could go out into the... I'm just joking by saying that. You remember the story of Nebuchadnezzar saying...
Oh, yeah. Look at all that. Eat grass.
Yeah. But he did come to his senses, didn't he?
He did, huh?
That's a good part of the story. So if you do these things... I would say when hemorrhoids are present, you need to lay off stuff like lasagna and pizza and fried foods. I know it's a shocker to tell you that onion rings don't help, but they probably don't.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. I thank you very much. I wish you the best, buddy.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, there's a phone line once again open. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. All right, good morning. How are you today?
Doing fine. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I've got a stiff left leg, and I'm having problems with my knee. And it seems like it just stiffens up. It won't straighten out all the way, and it's painful.
Well, this ain't going to turn out well if it locks up on you. How much can you actually bend it? Can you bend it to a full 90-degree angle?
Yes.
But you can't stand on one leg and take your heel and touch your bottom with it, can you?
No, I can't.
Okay. Let me give you several ideas. Now, you have a beautiful wife that probably takes good care of you, right?
Yes.
That was a very good answer, young man. You could try very simple techniques. You could have your wife just massage your leg and your knee with just plain Jane extra virgin olive oil. And what I want you to do is I want you to think about olive oil as the way it was used in the Bible when somebody was sick. They would anoint people. And actually, there's plenty of passages that suggest the idea if you have a wound or an injury, you apply olive oil to it. So if you could rub some olive oil a couple times a day on that knee, let's see what happens when the knee itself starts absorbing and drinking up those precious nutrients that come from the olive oil. Okay, number two. I'm going to do my best to convince you to start eating some cherries every day. Doesn't have to be a lot. It could be like a small bowl full. It could be 10. It could be 15 or 20. That's fine. But cherries, they have a unique nutritional profile that I believe is very helpful when the knee is stiff. So you're just going to kind of have to accept that on faith. And it, since cherries aren't in season right now, you could probably go to the grocery store where the frozen food is and say, oh, there's a bag of frozen pitted cherries right there. I'll take those. But that wouldn't be horrible to eat those. They taste good anyway, don't they?
They do.
It's almost like eating candy. It's not even fair. So you.
What about between the knee and the ankle? That bone in there, that part there.
Oh yes, and if you could just relax and elevate that leg and put an ice pack on it and have your wife massage it, let's see if we can get the swelling out of it. But the other thing that I want you to consider. I don't know how your entire day goes. But let me use my imagination in dealing with this issue. Most likely, if your knee's giving you trouble and your leg is stiff and it's painful, then you can't move around like you normally would if otherwise, correct?
Correct.
And so if you were to go on some type of website, you could type in exercise pedals. And I've seen them anywhere between $15 to maybe $50 at the most, depending on how high-tech. But even if you were sitting in a chair, you have got to get that leg moving if you want it to heal, because blood, that's where the life force is. The life is in the blood. It seems like I read that in Leviticus 17 one day.
That's right.
The life is in the blood, but you got to get that blood moving. And so the path through this is you got to run toward this by getting some pedals of some kind. It's almost like bicycle pedals that come in a box and you just put them on the floor in front of you. But you have got to get moving. So you could actually sit in a chair while you're at work or you're at the house, and you could just pedal away. And the knee itself, it doesn't really have a blood supply. Every time that it bends, you're pushing waste out and you're pushing nutrients and oxygen in. That's what you got to have.
All right.
Now, if this doesn't take care of it, now, if it were me and I had a stiff knee, I might try my plan B, which is to get a 5-gallon bucket of water and put some ice in it and just go out in the front yard or the backyard, get comfortable, take your Bible with you, start reading it, and submerge that leg in that bucket of ice cold water for 10 minutes a day. I know it's brutal, but it will get the inflammation out of that leg for you. That lower leg between your knee and your ankle.
That's right.
It'll get it out. If you'll do that, it'll be gone.
All right.
Or it'll be much better anyway.
All right, then.
Okay. Well, thank you for your welcome. Oh, you're welcome.
Yes.
You have a good evening, sir. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Oh, thank you very much. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I think we're practically out of time. It's been good to be with you today. So what have we learned today? One of the things that dark mushrooms, they might actually be one of the most superior advantages to you of all time. Now, I know I only have just a couple of moments, so let me say this right here. When is the best time to take action on your health? Is it when you're healthy or when you're super sick? Well, of course, if you have the power to build up some momentum toward good healing, and actually the caller this morning, the whole key to health is momentum. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, let's just forget about the past. It doesn't matter so much. But if you start moving forward by engaging in habits and activities that are going to improve your health, it's so much easier to do it now. You know as well as I do, if you lose all your physical strength, it's all over. So if you're getting a little bit weak, start moving your body and exercising. Become stronger. It's your ticket through this. I've enjoyed being with you today. You're listening to Health Essentials on KBJS FM 90.3.